Super Talk Mississippi Media Production.
William Carey University Athletics.
Every sport you find exciting.
Crusader Talk.
Crusader Talk.
And now.
This is Crusader Talk.
Crusader Talk.
We're covering everything William Carey University Athletics. From the field to the court and the diamond. On Super Talk Hattiesburg 97.3 and supertalkhattiesburg.com.
It is Crusader Talk here on a Monday on your radio. If you're listening on Super Talk Hattiesburg 97.3 or on demand in podcast form, wherever you get your podcasts from. I'm Caleb Hamill, joined by Josh West and Will Tony here in our Super Talk Hattiesburg studio. And we're glad to have you along for another edition of Crusader Talk. Today's show is all about recapping the 2022 and 23 athletic year, and who better to bring onto the show than the man that oversees it all, DJ Pulley. DJ Pulley is on the phone line with us, and DJ, I kind of want to start off, before we get into the year in review stuff, build off of what we talked about last week with the introduction of competitive cheer and men's and women's swimming to William Carey Athletics. It's pretty big to add different programs to the athletic realm, which William Carey is no stranger to adding and growing and expanding. But tell us a little bit about the decision to add these new athletics.
Well, it was a and I'm glad to be on, too, by the way. And also, when we get through with this conversation, I want to continue this, how good of a putter are you on a four-man scramble team? Because that is definitely a weak link with the Carey Athletic Department right now. Because none of us can putt anymore. We don't play enough golf, so we need to pick that up at a later date.
I've got to learn to pot these mics down when we're not on air.
But no, it was a we were every year we're always analyzing sports and you know what would be a good fit at the right time, trying to sort it out and we'll start with competitive cheer first. It's been on the radar for a significant amount of time. Obviously, competitive cheer is huge in our area. With especially, you know, Oak Grove Summerall had success at a national level a few years ago. Jones Junior College, Jones College and Pearl River have really very good teams. So it's something we've always kind of looked at, but we just never really have been able to find the right coach that, you know, where we could, you know, feel, you know, where we really kind of feel comfortable to be connected in. Was and then you know, with Dr. Burnett, his extensive background in education, the people he's met in his time, when we first talked to him, he said, "Well, I know who can coach your team." And he gave me Laura Light's his name. And when I spoke with her, you know, I was very taken back by what she wanted to do. And she's someone who coached early on and had, you know, family pulled her away, and now she's ready to get back into it. So it's kind of, and she's getting close to you know, the end of her time at Oak Grove, and so. You know, I think it's the process we've got to build this. It's actually going to be in two squads when it's all said and done, with a spirit squad and then the competitive cheer group, because the more I've learned about cheerleading, it is two different things. And so and so we're looking forward to that. And then we got to analyze, and you know, we want to create a more of a campus culture, campus life on the coast campus, and you start looking at sports to do. And, you know, naturally you think you're on the coast, you think swimming, but I didn't realize there were over 70 Mississippi high schools that offer swimming. Yes. And only Delta State, to my knowledge, and Millsaps are the two have swim programs. So it's kind of like, you know, this could potentially work really good in a niche for us. And met Robert Gonzalez, and, you know, he really, you know, he's wanting to grow swimming in Mississippi, and, you know, he's tied in, he's running the, you know, Mississippi swim clubs and all this stuff. And it was just a good fit, and, you know, I think it can serve what we want to do as far as, you know, our next expansion on the coast campus is dorms and cafeteria and libraries and things like that. And, you know, you got a team, a sports team there. It'll be the first one. It won't be the last one down there. It'll be the first one down there. And hopefully we'll add a few more in the next, you know, probably the next 5 to 10 years. So.
Yeah, I'm really impressed with, you know, getting to talk to both of those coaches and what they're going to bring to the table. It's exciting to see William Carey growing. Yep. As it is right now. And, you know, really, when you talk about growth with William Carey, you're talking about building upon success that's already happening. And William Carey has just completely shown out in this past athletic year and in other years as well. But, I mean, just looking up and down at every athletic program, it seems, there was some level of either championship or runner-up at either the conference level or national level. And I don't even know where to begin with this. Joshua, what do you think?
Well, I think I would say when you're looking at these in particular teams,
that finished in the final four, finished in the top four, national champions on the individual level. I mean, so we're not talking about being good in the Southern States Athletic Conference. We're not talking about being good regionally. We're talking about being good nationally. And this has been a part of your vision from day one. And to see it get here and to see it get here and be consistent here, a lot goes into that.
Yep.
Talk about that process and how pleased you are with the progress.
Well, yeah, we're pleased with it. I mean, it's a lot of work, you know, and it is, but it starts off with the baby steps. You know, you can't just jump to the end. So, you know, it's like, you know, some of my peers, you know, they were talking about, what are your team goals the first year? I said, well, you know, we want to have, you know, try to have double, you know, 12 or more scholar teams, which I think this year we'll be well past that. Department 3.0 GPA, so we know we're doing it academically. Try to do 2,500 plus hours of community service, which we're pretty close to that. And then I said, the next thing is we want to win the Commissioner's Cup. Now, that's the first step. And then we want to finish in the top 10 in the Learfield Director's Cup for National Championships, which we were able to accomplish. And that's very challenging at a national level. That means you've got to have your core four going deep in the postseason. With soccer, baseball, softball, in track and field, some of those are considered core. And we were able to pull it off this year. The thing was we tasted national championship. We were so close to them. You know, baseball is really, you know, think about it. They're a couple things go different in that game against Westmont. We're sitting there playing, you know, another match very, very easily. Golf, you know, playing at Deer Run was so challenging. And the girls think about, just a couple shots here and there. We're right there in the mix of this thing. So it was truly a great year. It's a process, though, and we're not satisfied. You know, we want to win every national title. That's the goal. We won't be the last team standing. It's kind of like with baseball, to get there for the second time. The guys are so disappointed when they lost because they can taste it and they see it. They know they can do it. This group will be interesting. We've got so many of them coming back. I mean, the last time we went, we didn't have hardly any of them coming back. So, and other sports like that, the track and field teams. Indoor, outdoor. I mean, they're right there. I mean, we've signed three or four pieces we think will put us over the top. So it's exciting. Looking forward to the next year already. I'm well into it. Because as soon as baseball finished, we were on to the next year in our books.
DJ Pulley joining us here on Crusader Talk. And DJ, you mentioned just how excited you are across the board and the baby steps, the process. What was the most satisfying? Now, these are all your kids, your young people. They're all special in their own way. But what was the most satisfying? What was the one that you look back on and go, wow, that was really sweet?
Man, they're all sweet. I really think you got to go back into the season, you go back into the fall with the women's cross country team. We won conference, and then Lena May wins as individual. And honestly, guys, I mean, you know, cross country is such a sport that's, I mean, I won't say it's like huge in the South. And we've had some successful runners on the men's side, but you look at them, they're Kenyans and that background. But her, a Mississippi girl from Van Cleve. I mean, that was special. I mean, that was something you're like, wow. And then, you know, I live on the coast. People on the coast know about her, and they're like, man, that's awesome. You know, she can compete that high level. I was like, she's, you know, fantastic. So you start there, and then when you get to the spring sports, women's golf, you know, up at Deer Run. I mean, I might be a little more biased because I was with them during that trip. But it was just amazing to see how hard they competed and fought on a very, very challenging golf course. And they squeezed every shot out of each round every day under trying conditions. And it was so, you know, humbling to watch them compete like that. And then obviously baseball, because it was, you know, baseball was the one that when they beat Southeastern that night, I mean, literally, I think we all could taste it. And it was like, oh my God, this can happen. And, you know, then we get the disappointment, but still though, it was like, we're there. You know, we just need to pick a few more pieces in the puzzle. It's not a lot, you know, and keep going forward, but those would be the ones I would really, you know, probably look back on, you know, wow factors, because, you know, really didn't see them coming, honestly. I mean, we didn't know what baseball was going to have this year. We didn't really know what, you know, how Lena was going to do at our level, things like that. But we were really, really taken back by it all.
DJ, it seems like there's a lot of athletic teams, not only that had success this year, but also are set up for future success leading into next season as well. And there's going to be a lot of time for us to preview all these different teams over this summer. But you know, what kind of stands out to you as the team that probably is going to surprise people with how much they're going to improve from this past season to next year?
I mean, it's hard to believe it, but I mean, I think women's soccer is poised for a year that could be, you know, where we're, you know, this past year we were a new group, a lot of new players. All, you know, the Ana Paula Santoses and Veronica Herreras were gone. So this was a whole new group of kids, and they fought through some adversity. And we lost again. I mean, it was funny when we lost a regular season game. We're all like, "Oh my gosh, it's been like 4 years since we've done that." but they got so much better as the year went along. A team that was making mistakes early and that was hurting them. By the end of the year, they were playing really, really good soccer. And then in the game, you know, when they lost in the, they really probably lost that game in the national tournament more from a standpoint of just not know how to put a game away. And but they'll learn that. They were getting better at that. So I'm looking for women's soccer to have a big year. I'm looking for women's basketball to have a big year. Basketball is the hardest, you know, hardest out there. You know, they're competing on they're beating teams nationally now. They should be set for a good year. And then honestly, it's, you know, baseball. I mean, the pieces that we've added are pretty daggum good for the baseball program. So we're really looking forward to that.
I want to ask you a little bit more about women's basketball and baseball as we continue our conversation. DJ, we've got one more segment with you as Crusader Talk continues in a moment.
Talk on Super Talk Hattiesburg 97.3 and supertalkhattiesburg.com.
We continue here on Crusader Talk here on a Monday evening. Glad to have you along with us, and also glad to have DJ Pulley continuing with us for a second segment here on the program. We've been talking all things 2022 to 23 in the athletic year. And DJ, we thought that after baseball had their season come to a close, then maybe you would finally get to have a breather and go on a nice little vacation. But work never stops for you, does it? You just got back from the commissioner or the conference meetings with Dr. Burnett. I want to just take a little side trip over there. Walk us through a little bit about what those meetings are about and what were the takeaways.
Our yearly meetings, we got all the teams get together, the coaches for each team get together, and they have their annual their sport meetings, and then they'll bring recommendations to the athletic directors and council to change the bed like this week here and there with how we do things in the conference. And this year was a little bit more longer because we've got several new members coming in. We got Point University, Thomas University, UT Southern are joining us. You know, and then next year we'll add Abraham Baldwin as well. So just kind of sorting out, you know, how you do automatic qualifiers and bids and tournaments and stuff like that. And but it was a good time. It was Dr. Burnett's first meeting. And we did a good job as ADs because we got it all pretty much ironed out for him. The presidents have a whole lot of questions, so we were out of there after about 3 hours. So it was good. Then I was home for a day or two. Then I went to the NACTA convention down in Orlando for athletic directors, and that was also another good set of meetings. You know, picked up some really good things on marketing and, you know, some alumni outreach stuff we're going to start doing. So it was good to hear some experts talk about that. And finally got back home and was back in the office home for last Friday, first time since May the 19th. So.
Been a little bit
of whirlwind, a little bit of a while. I had a lot of paperwork to sign, but it's just busy. It never stops anymore, so it's year round now. So,
and one of the things that expanding the conference does, and you kind of alluded to it, is the fact that automatic qualifiers have to be reorganized, but also the fact that the SSAC, now that they have reached a new size, at least by memory. I believe that means that in a couple sports, they may get a second automatic qualifying bid. Is that right?
That's correct. Yeah, you get two in some sport. Now, every sport's a little bit different now.
Right.
They've changed up. But, like, basketball becomes a two-bid league. And then
that's huge.
You know, baseball becomes a two-bid. Softball now, because, you know, that was some things that kind of hurt us this past year. So with a couple of things. That's huge. But it's sorting it out, though. You know, you have to prepare all the kind of contingencies now. And But I think we kind of a good plan. You know, the interest, we're trying to go to divisions and in a league, but I think it's becoming more evident. That's like I was telling the AD. I said the divisions need to be more like for scheduling opportunities, and we just need to understand that we're not going to play each other an equal amount of times because we don't need to be playing 20, like in basketball, you don't need to be playing 22, 23 conference games because you got to get out, and when you only get 28 games to play, you got to get out, play other people, and build your resumes for postseason, and stuff like that. So it's just trying to get everybody on board, understanding that. And like I said, it was everybody came to the table with good ideas, and I think we got a lot accomplished. Still need to. We might be picking up two more schools potentially one of August 1st.
Wow.
And so we'll decide how that'll shake out. After then, we'll get it all kind of ironed out.
From, yeah, with divisions.
Probably sometime in our September meetings, yeah.
Yeah, with divisions, I'm pretty sure Coach Knight would love to not have to travel all the way to Bruton Parker and Middle Georgia State every year,
yeah,
if at all possible.
Yeah, it's brutal. It's brutal. You know, and it's like, it's just so long. But then again, on the flip side, though, you know, in our division, the West side is always the stronger of the two sides in basketball. You know,
mm-hmm.
He'd be getting Faulkner and Loyola and Mobile. You know, Blue Mountains become very good here lately. Stillman would all be on our side, so we'd get the harder of the two draws. But that's just the way it works. It works out good in some sports and not so good in others. But you can't do anything about that. So.
DJ, you're talking about traveling to all these different conventions and going to Orlando, and then I'm thinking about the Tradition campus on the Mississippi Gulf Coast. And, you know, we talked about this last week as well. William Carey now is planting their flag on the Gulf Coast. They're saying this is our coast. It is becoming something now that is going to be a recruiting draw, and it's something where, and even in the long term, William Carey could be perhaps some type of de facto host for these type events on the Mississippi Gulf Coast. Is that something where William Carey gets bigger bigger on the national scene?
Yes. I mean, it's something, you know, we've talked about for several years now. We've hosted open rounds and things like that. And this past year when we hosted baseball, we actually had the baseball director of championships for the NAIA come down and see what we did. And he was just blown away. He's like, man, I've been to four or five of these the last few years, and y'all are way above grade on what you're doing. Because, you know, we know how to do championships, you know, whether, you know, we see it across the street at Southern Miss, Ole Miss and State doing it. We jump in there, we do a great job. The coast is an awful attractive place to host potential NAI World Series. You know, it's got a great venue. It's a scenic. It's a destination to travel to. It's easy to get to, whereas going to Lewiston, Idaho, which it's great once you get there, but it's, you know, $40,000 in airline tickets to do it too, and it's not a good pill to swallow this time of year. So, you know, and I think you could look at, like, you know, we've talked with a couple of golf courses down there potentially putting in business to host men or women's golf championships on the coast and things like that. And it's just, you know, the coast is on the flip side, they've got such a vibrant, you know, economy. You know, sometimes they're kind of like, we really don't need the hotel rooms filled up. They're already full anyway. So it's just a matter of finding the right tournament that fits in the right spot. But we would love to. We would love to bring some championships to the coast. That's our goal in the long run.
So that's your goal there in that long run. But I want to kind of frame it in a whole athletics department standpoint. Imagine you're sitting at the desk of Dr. Burnett, and he asks you, what are your goals for this athletic department 10 years from now? What do you see William Carey achieving in that time frame?
Well, I would think that in that time frame, that's a great question, Caleb. I can't usually think 5 minutes in front of me, much less 10 years, man. My thing is, I want us to obviously continue to be the best. I want us, within our conference. You know, you got to start with that step first. I want us to continue to be the dominant power in the conference. I want us to continue to innovate and provide things for our student athletes that nobody else provides. We do a great job of that. We've added some schools in the league that do it just about as good as we do. So we got to step it up a notch. And Dr. Burnett understands that. And then also, it's just time to, you know, in the coaches field too, it's just time to start closing the deal, final sites, bringing national championships home consistently. There's other NAI schools around. If you look around, like Indiana Tech, Oklahoma City, Kaiser, Southeastern Florida, they're winning multiple every year. And we probably do it better than they do it. So it's just time to start finishing off. And I think that's getting, we're so close. I never, in 2018, I never thought we would win one, and we did. And then now it's like we should have won six, seven more. You know, it's right there. So that would be it is. And then really the big thing is but it's hard to project. You don't know what the college landscape is going to look like in 10 years. You know, college athletics and just higher education in general is such a pivotal moment right now with the enrollment cliff happening. You know, they're projecting that, you know, potentially 30% of, you know, schools could close in the next decade. So you don't know what's going to transpire, how it's going to look. You know, we were trying to explain to our ADs, you know, some people in this room may not be here in 5 years because of the nature of what's going on with higher education right now with enrollments, and it's not going to end anytime soon. So it's going to be a lot to look at, a lot to digest. You know, find the right means to get the most bang for your buck. So.
And what about facilities? I'm not sure that skyboxes are in the future of Milton Wheeler Field, or if they're giant flashing LED lights and chasing spotlights at Clinton Gym. But what are some of the things that we're looking into on the horizon for different athletic facilities?
Well, the biggest thing now, and I'm going to go ahead and say this on the air, is on July 20th, I believe at 2 o'clock, we're going to break ground on that new baseball softball field house. Be about a $1.6 million facility. It is long overdue. We have the best baseball softball field in the country, but our locker room situation has been sorely needing to be addressed. So that is actually, the plans have been finalized. The bid has been accepted, and we're going to have the gold shovels and move the dirt out on July 20th. So if any of our former baseball softball alumni are around, please come that afternoon. It's a big moment for the programs. They'll attest to that. So that's the first big one. And then there's some other projects. You know, the tennis locker rooms are still, we're in this part of the first phase of the capital campaign. So fundraising is well underway for that. That'll be a big addition. Then beach volleyball courts, of course, have got to happen sooner rather than later. And I know Dr. Burnett's ready to pretty close pulling the trigger on getting those under construction sometime this fall. So, and then after that, it's just, depending on how much money they give me. I got a shopping list pretty long. So they'll give it to me. I can spend it for them. So.
You know, keeping up athletic facilities as well as sending all these talented teams to championship events costs a lot of money mm-hmm. for your athletic department. Mm-hmm. How can people find out more about supporting the Crusaders and the athletic department?
If you go on either William Carey's website or the athletic site, there's links to advancement for fundraising and donations, things like that. The thing is with the capital campaign, that's something that's going to touch every student that goes to our university for generations to come. You know, it's a $26.5 million goal we've set for ourselves. We're well on our way to reaching it, but we need all the help we can get. Because it'll directly impact students, giving them a college experience that is good as anywhere you go around to. And then, hopefully sometime this fall, when I get the green light from advancement, and then we'll be rolling out our new updated Crusader Club programs, where we can ask, to join, yearly gift giving and plans like that. And that should come out sometime, hopefully before the start of soccer season. So.
That'd be great. We appreciate your time, DJ. We are privileged to have you on, and we're glad that you help us even have this show in the first place. It's an honor and a privilege.
Appreciate you guys doing it. Appreciate y'all doing it, man. And get to the golf course, practice your putt, man. I may have to get a call here since you putt so well. I didn't really know that about you, Caleb.
I got to get another set of clubs. I'll have to find that one in the attic somewhere.
Hey, all right. See, this is your first Father's Day, man. You didn't get your thing.
That was a golden opportunity. Should have done that.
Golden opportunity, man. Josh, thank you, man. Appreciate everything y'all do, guys.
All right. Thanks so much.
All right. That's DJ Pulley, Athletics Director William Carey. We will continue with Crusader Talk in a moment.
You're tuned in to Crusader Talk on Super Talk Hattiesburg 97.3 and supertalkhattiesburg.com.
That was a great conversation with DJ Pulley, Athletics Director at William Carey. And we are just so full of great talents at this university when it comes to not just the coaching realm, but also the administration. Carey's on a great trajectory. And we're not just trying to blow smoke because this is a William Carey podcast. I mean, even from an outsider's perspective coming in, they can clearly see just how big William Carey has gotten and how they continue to grow.
We've been adopted into the family. You know, they share the vision with us and said, hey, we want you to come be a part of this. And we went, oh, wait a minute. Really? We get to do? Okay. And then you become a part of it, and you start meeting people, and you start meeting these coaches, and you start meeting these athletes, and you start going, wait a minute, now I get it. There's a culture, there's a winning culture, there's expectations, there's a vision. And when you look at the way these coaches buy in and they stay, and they choose William Carey. Okay, there are people that are William Carey that want to be at William Carey, and they want to be there long term, and they want to win championships, and they want to invest in student athletes. It's special. It is a special place, and that's something that you can't be around it, you know, 5 minutes or so. Instantly, you start, and you hear DJ talk, and it's right when we went to break, I was like, man, God fires me up. I'm fired up.
Of the four of us, and I'm including Ben in this, I'm the one Carey grad of the group.
Right.
Okay. The students themselves, regardless of student athletes or whatever, specifically in basketball, are rabid fans. And you've got the support of the student body. That's a huge deal. And now that you've got Dr. Burnett in there, it's making a huge, huge difference. And you know, that coming from, I'm the definition of a non-traditional student. It took me 16 years to get a four-year degree. But, you know, it gives you a sense of pride as a Carey grad.
And looking at athletics top to bottom, I mean, we covered all kinds of things from cross country to track and field. We didn't even touch on tennis. Tennis even did, you know, pretty great with the men's team finishing second in the SSAC tournament, and the women's tennis team winning the SSAC championship game over Loyola. And you know, they made some noise in the national tournament as well. In fact, that women's team, by the way, they've been in the championship game every season since 2017. I mean, they're just top to bottom. Golf still doing good things. Softball just a little bit short on reaching the national tournament this year. That was just kind of an off year, as Coach Fletcher has seen his team go to the postseason every year up until now in his tenure, and this is just a one-off. It is, one, incredible, the success, but two, I mean, you hit the nail on the head, both of you, just about how William Carey grips you and pulls you in, because it's one, amateur athletics, unlike what we see in kind of the NCAA today with all this NIL stuff and transfer portal. And it's also, they're genuine athletes that care about what they're doing and care about the university.
It's something special about it. I mean, it really is. And it's also why, you know, in the comparison between minor league baseball and major league baseball, I'd rather watch minor league because they're more passionate about it. They're trying to get to the show.
Yeah.
They're playing a lot harder. In NAIA athletics, they're playing a whole lot harder because, to borrow from the SEC, it really means more to them.
Yeah.
It does.
It does. And even thinking back now on some of the athletics last year that maybe didn't have their best years, I think about the basketball programs. Yeah, the women's team made it to the semis of the SSAC tournament. The men's team had a rough year, only getting 3 wins in conference play, a 7-20 overall record. But yeah, with this nuance that we talked about last week of the NAIA opening up the opportunity to reach NCAA athletes even before they're in the transfer portal will help out basketball programs across the board. And it's just going to be one of those situations of reload. Coach Knight is no stranger to bringing up a new team, and it's just a slight lull for William Carey in the basketball front. Women's basketball, on the other hand, oh my. Hey, if you have kept pace with all the tweets and different recruits that have come into the university, you know that team is stacking up to make a huge improvement from last year to this coming season. I mean, Rose Warren from USM coming into the fold.
That's a big get.
That's a big get. A couple other athletes from around the Pine Belt area, too, and we may get a chance to talk to some of them over the summer or as we preview closer to basketball season beginning. But, Josh, we talked about some of these different athletic programs and what they've accomplished this season. DJ pointed out a couple that stood out to him. Which one caught your eye the most?
Well, you know, I got brought in at the end of it. I was very impressed with track and field. I was very impressed with the top to bottom of that program. Again, when you look at, we had the national champion in cross country, but when you were looking at track and field, women finishing second place in the NAIA out of 60, first in the Southern States in indoor and outdoor. And then you had Linton being named the most valuable performer in the NAIA, men second in indoor and outdoor, in the Southern States Athletic Conference. So when you look at track and field, and then you look at the amount of athletes that that particular sport reaches, what an opportunity for people to come in and be a part of that level of competition, to be a part of that caliber of a program, and to be able to continue their education.
And, you know, I think that one stood out to me. Just thinking back to our podcast that we had toward the end of the season, it seemed like every other week we were talking to either Ryan McKenzie of track and field or Coach Mark Lux of tennis, because they just had success that nobody really realized until we brought light to it on this radio program. And I think that my answer to the question I posed to you is probably going to be, if I wanted to pick a random one or a lesser known one, it would be women's tennis because of what they were able to do. The whole headline of that team was the fact that they only had six players at their disposal as they were wrapping up the year. And if you know anything about how college tennis works, you have six singles courts and you have to have a player play at each of those. And so you cannot have somebody that's sick and just sub one of the people from the other five into that. No, that otherwise it's just a forfeit on that sixth court.
Yeah, injury is not an option there.
No, and so and nobody can just have a bad day and the slack be pulled up. Everybody has to bring their A game day in and day out.
Yeah.
And it resulted in winning the SSAC championship, as we mentioned earlier, and they continue their success. And I know Coach Lux is going to have that program ready to go next year as well. Men's team had pretty good success as well. Finished second place in the SSAC tournament. It was kind of fun. We were all at baseball watching the Crusaders play, but we also had our eyes and ears over to a couple of different computer monitors watching the men and women both competing for championships in that same weekend. I mean, there is no shortage of places to put your eyes when it comes to William Carey Athletics, and that's a great problem to have.
Well, and then, you know, hearing DJ talk about the opportunity to host championships in this market, in the Gulf Coast market, or on the Gulf Coast market, if you want to word it that way, we already saw the impact of what hosting championships can do for your program. I mean, that is a decided home field, home court, home track, whatever you want to say, advantage. So if those type things continue, it gives you an opportunity to be able to advance. I don't want to say easier or quicker, but it is an advantage. And it's something that is going to give fans an opportunity to be more connected to the athletes, more connected to the teams as you're growing a fan base. And I'm really interested to see what, with the help of everybody that's passionate about William Carey, I'm interested to see how they continue to put pieces together to create the content that people want, because whether it's TikTok, whether it's Instagram, whether it's Facebook, Twitter, we are a very ADHD society. But when something grabs our eye, when something is truly special, it goes viral and everybody sees it, and they see it in about 24 to 48 hours. And it's nothing for something to get 10 million, 20 million, 50 million views.
Oh, yeah. Right.
When William Carey, they've got those type of athletes. When those type of moments start happening and people from around the region and people from around the state and the country start really connecting to the Crusaders, look out, because this is a great place to live. It's a great place to raise a family. It's a great place to work. There's just so much going for William Carey over the two campuses. It's exciting, because look at what they're doing. And you heard DJ say they only need to close. What's going to help them close? They're going to continue to get more and more talented people to be a part of this. And those pieces coming together will win national championships, not Southern States Athletic Conference championships, national championships. It's going to be incredible.
Yeah, the conference championships are just the stepping stone on your way to the national tournament and national championships. And William Carey's already proving that they have the chops to do that in a variety of sports, just looking to do it on a couple more. And as you say, close the deal.
And it's going to bring in non-athletic students as well.
That's right. I mean,
it's huge.
Look at I know we always make comparisons to the SEC, but I grew up in watching the Southeastern Conference mm-hmm. in a variety of athletics, and they were always, you know, somewhat prominent.
Right.
There was parity across the board. All of a sudden, you start looking into those things where they added TV networks, mm-hmm. and all of a sudden, teams are boosted in their appeal to the public.
Mm-hmm.
And things just take flight. Now, I mean, I know a lot of that's the TV money that get brought in, too. But the fact that people see it, these teams are up on that pedestal.
Right.
And all of a sudden, football success, I look at – because, again, I graduated from Mississippi State. I'll make no bones about it. But whenever they had their highly successful football year in 2014,
right,
enrollment skyrocketed.
Mm-hmm.
And so when you see athletic success on a big stage, it draws eyes. It draws attention. And even beyond the realm of athletics, I can say about William Carey, which, of course, baseball was the big ticket item this year,
yeah,
in that they made it the World Series. I can look even beyond athletics and see the music program,
yes,
has been on display. And I may reference this a little bit more in our next segment, our final one. But the Southern Baptist Convention just happened in New Orleans. And guess who was leading worship along with Travis Cottrell? The William Carey Worship Choir.
Yeah.
It was amazing to watch. And there's opportunities to go back and watch some of those worship services on demand. I encourage you all to do that. But we'll probably put out some information on how you can link back to that as well. But William Carey on the rise in athletics and as a university. And we'll talk a little bit more about that and wrap things up with you here on a Monday. Stay with us. William Carey is what we're talking about here on Crusader Talk.
Talking everything William Carey University Athletics. This is Crusader Talk on Super Talk Hattiesburg 97.3 and supertalkhattiesburg.com.
Final segment of Crusader Talk. If you missed our earlier two segments with DJ Pulley, Director of Athletics at William Carey, you can catch that on demand in podcast form. It'll be released just shortly after we close the show tonight. Our great producer, Will Tony, does a good job of clipping everything together and getting it all packaged nice and neat.
Usually within 15 to 20 minutes.
Record time. Much quicker than I could do it. Caleb Hamill, Josh West, Will Tony with you here on this Monday. And we had great conversations with DJ Pulley about the state of athletics at William Carey and also just recapping the success of 2022 and 23. It's still mind-boggling just how many teams were competitive. I mean, just to put it succinctly like that, competitive on not just a conference scale but a national scale. From a conference perspective, we look at it, and DJ referenced this a little bit, but William Carey earned the SSAC Commissioner's Cup with 94.82 points, and the next closest team was Mobile with 81. That was for the All-Sports Commissioner's Cup, and they also walked away with a Women's Sports Cup as well. Didn't win the Men's Cup. That belonged to Dalton State. But at the same time, I mean, William Carey, top to bottom, has had just time after time where they've proven themselves to be worthy of the attention from an athletics and national perspective.
Well, and that's why we're here. This show is just another step in that direction, right? This is another part of DJ's vision. DJ is one of those people that goes out and inspires people. He can find the people he wants. He can inspire them. He's a vision caster. And when you spend, like we said, just a few minutes with him, we said this in a couple of other segments, if you get an opportunity to be a part of it, it's a pretty easy thought process of, yes, now how do I get a part to be a part of this? Where's my role? What's my role to make this better? And so as this continues to grow and there's more people that are added just one notch under DJ that are right there with Kevin and that make DJ's life easier, make Kevin's life easier, and they have the vision and they have those same type of skill sets to be able to manage people and to be able to inspire people and help people be their best. That's when this thing is going to really take off, because they have not even scratched the surface of what we're going to see from William Carey in the next 2, 3 to 5 years in terms of marketing, social media. Mm-hmm. This thing is going to get a lot of fun. And so William Carey fans that have been there for years and decades are about to be having the time of their life.
Yeah, and it's already great right now that so many of their athletic contests that are at least, you know, team versus team can be found on their streaming platform.
Oh, absolutely. It's fantastic.
Yeah, we're in that digital age where everything has to be accessible, and, you know, whether it's volleyball or soccer, basketball, baseball, softball, all of it you can find links to whenever it's a William Carey home game. Visitor, you know, when they're the visiting team, maybe, you know, it's less of a chance, but the teams across the SSAC are doing a great job of trying to keep all these athletic teams on platforms where you can at least stay in touch with what's going on. And if not, you know, follow live stats or see a good recap article or see it on the news later. I'm constantly impressed with the nuances in technology that help us bring these games together, whether it's cameras that automatically follow the action on the court or the field, mm-hmm. or anything of that sort. It's pretty impressive what these teams are bringing to the stage nowadays. You know, as a matter of fact, Josh, you and I got to see firsthand some of those systems at baseball hosting that SSAC tournament. You have two cameras, one in center field looking at home plate and then one behind the plate looking at the field. And there's a computer behind us that is just automatically switching between the two on pitches. When it's about to be thrown, they show the center field camera. Whenever the bat makes contact, it switches. It's just crazy to me how all these things work together nowadays.
So you don't even need a technical director?
They do have a director that's at least keeping up with the scoreboard and firing off commercials, but they're not having to make decisions on camera changes. It's just one camera feed coming
that's
in
nuts.
Already prepackaged.
But that technology is still playing catch up a little bit. I've had a chance, you know, so we're only just maybe not years, we might just be months away from that technology getting really, really good.
Right.
What's going to be really impressive is when the technology can clip the games.
Yeah.
And then can put that package on YouTube, because you can condense a game down to 11 minutes. Yeah. You know, 12 minutes of the, you know, say the, for example, the innings where the team scored. My son will take in MLB games, Division I games, and so forth in those formats. It just takes a lot of editing right now, a lot of man hours mm-hmm. or woman hours. And so, again, it's going to be interesting to see how technology and, of course, AI, how that's going to continue to revolutionize this.
You're going to have AI writing the recap articles and having different bots clip the games for you.
Look, we're trying to create jobs, not delete them.
Hey, somebody's got to put in the prompts now. That's just a different job. That's all that is. All right.
That's for you, Caleb.
I appreciate that. Hey, I've got to keep a job, too, as a computer programmer and engineer. That's going to do it for us here on another edition of Crusader Talk. Want to thank DJ Pulley for joining us earlier, and Will Tony pushing all the right buttons and helping us reach our destination safely here at the end of the 7 o'clock hour. I want to thank you, the listener, as well, for being in tune to all things William Carey Athletics. For more information, you can visit the athletics website at gowcucrusaders.com. For Josh West and Will Tony, I'm Caleb. Until next time, go Saters and good night.
Super Talk Mississippi Media Production.